Our fear should be a fear of God. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. O sinner, this evening, oh, that you would fear God, the God who will judge you for your sin. He is your creator, and that you must have that fear toward him. Come ye children, the psalmist said, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And this is what we need to be taught in this day and generation. A fear, a reverence, a godly respect for the God of heaven. And this psalm sets this forth. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to Jesus Saves by the Whitfield Choir of the Free Presbyterian Church. How wonderful is that message? Jesus saves. And in those two words, we have given to us the greatest message that any man or woman can know, that Jesus saves. It is a message that sinners need to hear, for they're in the darkness of their sin. There is no hope. And no salvation, no redemption, no forgiveness of sins, apart from in the Jesus who saves. And this is indeed the gospel that we seek to proclaim on these programs. a gospel in which Jesus saves. We're reminded in the Word of God about the heart of man. In fact, the Bible has much to say about the heart of man. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The book of Jeremiah reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The psalmist said that the fool hath said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." What is the state of your heart today? Is it a heart that knows the Lord? The psalmist again said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Oh, that your heart would be a heart that delights to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We're going today to our pulpit in Cloverdale for part one of the message entitled "Assessing Our Heart."
Psalm 112, commencing at verse 1, let us hear the word of God. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this evening. I want to draw your attention again to verse 1 and verse 7 and verse 8. There the word of God says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." The Puritan preacher in England in the 17th century, Isaac Ambrose, spoke truth about the heart of man when he said that the heart, this of all foes, is the most subtle and crafty. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He then said, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And indeed, when we think of the heart of man is the chief monarch, he said, of this little world, man. Man's chief king, the heart that rules and commands all the parts of man. He said it is the main wheel of the machine that sets all the rest of the wheels going. It is the fountain of our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And he said, as the heart is, as your heart is, so is the whole man. Dear believer, this evening, when we come to Psalm 112, we come to consider the righteous man. The wicked man is mentioned also, but here in many of the verses we have the righteous man in view, a man who loves the Lord, and we see exactly what his heart is like. And we see for ourselves what our hearts ought to be like. When we think of the heart, the Word of God has much to say about the heart of man, speaking about the seat of our affections, not the physical organ that pumps blood around our bodies, but the heart, that core part of who we are. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, we read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And here, Jeremiah clearly describes the heart of man. Isaac Ambrose referred to this. Our heart is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. And that is something that we as humans do not want to hear. That is something we do not want to consider. It is a tough and personal and painful and sharp truth that is contained in the Word of God. That our hearts are deceitful. That our hearts are desperately wicked. Oh, how we like to hide the true feelings of our hearts. Yet how often those feelings express themselves through acts and thoughts and words of sin. But we find that God searches the heart, that God penetrates the heart, that our heart is hidden from man, but our heart is not hidden from God. God sees it. He knows our hearts. There's no escaping that thought. And if you're here tonight outside of Christ, you know not the Savior. You know not His so great salvation. He knows that. He sees your heart. He sees what you're thinking. He sees what you're considering. At this very moment in time, I assume everyone's listening, but God knows whether that is true or not. On the outward, we can assume. On the outward, we lurk and make assumptions. We see outward evidence. But God looks not only on the outward, but He penetrates into our thoughts, into our being, into our hearts, and He sees what we think of Him. He sees where our hearts lie. He sees the focus of our hearts. In Genesis 6, verse 5, we are reminded that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw the heart of man, and He knew and could discern the heart of man. Dear believer, dear unsaved person, we need to understand that the Lord knows our heart. But our heart is wicked, and it is deceitful. And how true is the saying of the Puritan, a man by the name of Ezekiel Culverwell, when he said, "Fear and mistrust of our false hearts is painful, but safe." Mistrusting our own hearts, fearing our own hearts, and what our hearts can think of and decide to do is painful, but it's safe. It's safe. Where does your heart stand tonight? Does your heart love the Lord? Or is your heart a heart that is against the Lord? And when we come to Psalm 112, we see that the blessedness of the godly man is described. We see the demise of the ungodly man. In verse 1, verse 5, set the scene, as it were, for verses 7 and 8. And we see in verse 7 and 8, a good man, an upright man, a man who loves the Lord. Why? Why is he good? No man is good. The Word of God tells us that there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so this good man we see in verse 5 must only be good when we consider what Scripture teaches us about being good, that Christ is the only one who is good. Christ's love, Christ's grace, Christ's mercy is what makes a man able to do good. Because of Christ, redeemed sinners are good. And the Lord looks upon the heart, and despite sin and despite iniquity, despite rebellion, he sees his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees his redeemed child. He sees, dear believer, your heart. And he sees a heart that has been changed by the power of the gospel. This is what we see in verse 7 and verse 8. A heart that has been changed by the Lord. The heart of a godly individual. A heart, dear believer, that must be our heart. A heart, dear congregation, that must be our heart. And tonight I want us to consider very simply assessing our heart. Assessing our heart. Oh, this is something we must consider. This is something that must be upon our minds. For we must understand our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we must continually assess the nature and the state of our hearts. And firstly, in this psalm, we see that we must have a heart that fears God. We must have a heart that fears God. We see that in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, the psalmist says. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. We must, if we are to be the Lord's people, have a heart that fears the Lord. Verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. There's much fear in this world. The actions of other men are to be feared. Evil, defaming speech is to be feared. The sins of this world are feared. It is appointed unto man once to die, and death is feared by many. Shakespeare's Hamlet, in his famous To Be or Not To Be speech, said the following, but that dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns, puzzles the will. Puzzles the will. The undiscovered country. Speaking of death, what lies beyond the grave? Hamlet is saying, Shakespeare is saying, it's undiscovered. We don't know. And there is a fear of what comes after death, because men see it as the undiscovered country. Men fear these things. Of course, we know what lies after death, the wrath of God, or peace for God's people. And those who are outside of Christ ought to fear death because of the wrath of God. But dear believer, we are not to fear death, because death is that chariot, as it were, that takes us into the presence of our blessed Savior. We shall see his face. How marvelous, how wonderful to see our glorious Savior. Man knows what it is to fear, but the child of God, the godly man in this psalm, is different. He is not to fear these things. He is not to be afraid of evil tidings, because he's trusting in the Lord. He's trusting in the self-existent and eternal Jehovah. If you look at your authorized version and you see verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord. Lord is in capital letters. Why is that? Because it is the Hebrew word Jehovah. It's emphasizing that in the Hebrew, it says, praise ye Jehovah. And we translate it as praise ye the Lord. In the King James authorized version, it's in capital letters. And that lets us know that here, the name of God in view is Jehovah, that denotes that he is self-existent, that denotes that he is the eternal God. He is eternal, he is unchangeable, and therefore the godly man is trusting and he does not fear, because the Lord Jehovah is in control. He is in control. The man who is godly does not fear this world, but he does fear. And we see that in verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. It's a different kind of fear. It is a reverence. It is a respect toward the God of heaven. And our hearts ought to have a heart. We ought to have a heart that fears the Lord. This fear is not a fear of hearing a noise late at night or having a terrible fear of something in this world. This is not the fear of evil things. It is respect, a reverent fear, a respectful fear, a holy fear. One of the Puritans said, to fear God is to have the awe of God abiding upon your heart, to be under a sense of the majesty and glory of God shining forth in all his attributes. Do we fear the Lord? When we think of our heart this evening, is it a heart that respects the Lord, a heart that has that reverence to the Lord? And what is the evidence of that? Well, the psalmist says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And if you love the Lord, you fear the Lord, you will have a delight in his commandments, in all of his commandments, in living according to his will. William Plumer, the American Presbyterian minister, said, a little love to God's commandments is not enough. We must delight in them, else our arrogant and domineering lusts will carry us away. Let us delight in the law of God. We consider that on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting. Psalm 1, the blessed man is a man who loves and delights in God's word, in God's law, in God's commandments. And he will seek to keep them, to be that witness for the Lord. Who does your heart fear today? Is there that holy and reverent fear as you delight in the Lord's commandments? Another Puritan said, we fear man so much because we fear God so little. One fear cures another. Fearing God cures our fear of man. When we fear God and we have a reverence and that respect toward him, we see him as who he is, the mighty God, the eternal King, the one who is on the throne of this world. We will praise him. We'll rejoice in him. We will follow his commandments. And that fear that we have of God, that reverence toward him, we won't fear man, because we will see man as the little tiny creature that he is, a man that has no power, a man that cannot stand against God, a man who will be judged by God rather than a man that judges God. Oh, how we can fear man and friends and family. We can fear being a Christian, but yet our heart should fear the Lord and put him first. Dear unsaved person, do you fear man more than God? Do you fear coming to Christ because of your fear of man? Does your heart in rejecting the gospel of Christ for the fear of man fear man more than God? It does. It does. The Savior said in Luke 12, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Christ is saying, do not fear man, but fear the God of heaven, who after he has killed you has the power to cast you into hell. Our fear should be a fear of God. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. O sinner, this evening, oh, that you would fear God, the God who will judge you for your sin. Oh, that you would see that he is that judge. He is your creator. And that you must have that fear toward him. Come ye children, the psalmist said, hearken unto me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And this is what we need to be taught in this day and generation. A fear, a reverence, a godly respect for the God of heaven. And this psalm sets this forth. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Thank you.
We've been enjoying together the devotional messages of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a Baptist pastor from London, England, during the 19th century. And we've been reading from his devotional book, Morning and Evening. And today Spurgeon brings us to Romans chapter 11, verse 26, where the Word of God says, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Then Moses sang at the Red Sea. It was his joy to know that all Israel were safe. Not a drop of spray fell from that solid wall until the last of God's Israel had safely planted his foot on the other side of the flood. That done, immediately the floods dissolved into their proper place again, but not till then. Part of that song was, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed." In the last time, when the elect shall sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb, it shall be the boast of Jesus, "Of all whom thou hast given me, I have lost none." In heaven there shall not be a vacant throne, for all the chosen race shall meet around the throne, shall bless the conduct of his grace, and make his glories known. As many as God hath chosen, as many as Christ hath redeemed, as many as the Spirit hath called, as many as believe in Jesus, shall safely cross the dividing sea. We are not all safely landed yet. Part of the host have crossed the flood, and part are crossing now. The vanguard of the army has already reached the shore. We are marching through the depths. We are at this day following hard after our leader into the heart of the sea. And let us be of good cheer. The rear guard shall soon be where the vanguard already is. The last of the chosen ones shall soon have crossed the sea, and then shall be heard the song of triumph when all are secure. But oh, if one were absent, oh, if one of his chosen family should be cast away, it would make an everlasting discord in the song of the redeemed and cut the strings of the harps of paradise, so that music could never be extorted from them. The Lord bless this devotional to our hearts again today. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton, and you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. Our program broadcasts each day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. And we look forward to joining with you tomorrow as we consider the Word of God together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.